to stuff all the evils of this world down. He's going to bring his son in here, and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. It's not going to be the capital of Israel. It's going to be the capital of the world. The root word for Jerusalem is Salem, and that word means peace. That's why you got all these witches trying to desecrate that name. They're doing it being led of the devil to be like that, and they don't even know what they're doing. They're just anti-God and anti-Christ. The key verse of this chapter is verse 17. And where it says, "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." That means everything in this prophecy is going to come to pass. And when he takes care of that, he's going to take care of them. And you got 18 verses, 522 words, all inspired by God. This particular chapter, a 7.5 grade level. So as we look at this, we get Revelation chapter 17. I'll show you the chapter, and we're going to focus on one verse. "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither." Remember in chapter 4, it's "come up hither." Now he's already there. He said, "Now I want you to see this, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." And listen to this. It tells about this great whore with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Who's that? Everybody who's the head of a country is tied in with this whore. Even America. Out of all the nations that sits on the UN, one of them sitting up there is a church. Yep. I'll give you three guesses who that is, and the first two don't count. It'd be that wicked, evil, godless whore Rome that's sitting over there. Right. Not the nation, the church. Okay. Italy has their own seat, then you got the Pope sitting over there. I liked it when the Pope came to address the UN back in, I think it's early 90s, there was this Presbyterian preacher was sitting up there, and he was a member of Parliament, standing up there shouting, "Antichrist! Antichrist!" at him until the police had him removed. What happened to free speech? Now think about that. Was it what happens when he comes over here? Oh, everybody wants to shake his hand and bow down and kiss his rings and all that? Listen, they've been showing the cameras on the wrong people. They need to see how we react to him. He's just some old dude wearing a dress trying to say he's father, trying to dress like mama to us. That's all he is. He's not God in the flesh like he says.
Right.
Somebody told me, "Well, what about the millions of people following? They're doomed souls."
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. They're doomed. It says here, "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color." I wonder what colors decorate that guy's house, by the way. "And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." Sounds like they're pretty rich over there, right? That's why we don't listen to them when they tell us we need to take better care of the poor in America. You don't take care of the poor in Italy. You ain't got right telling us to do nothing. And the next time George Clooney says something about it, you tell him I said, until he starts giving out money, we ain't giving nothing to help out nobody. Man got $800 million to make telling you to give money and help people. One of us can afford it better. One of us could divide his money amongst America and everybody get a good little lick and probably give our economy a boost. Well, if I'd have known if you paid that much being Batman, I'd applied myself. Amen. What, they make short, fat bat suits. How you think half a Hollywood crowd fits in them? They just build up the chest a little bit more, make it look better. And it says about this whore, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." What a title. It's in all capital letters where you can't miss it. It says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast was and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind, it says, which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now we know exactly who he's talking about. One place in the world like that. Yep. The Vatican. How about that? Yep. You was worried I wasn't going to call names. I'm just getting warmed up to it. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and another is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Here's why. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. When the king shows up, they all in trouble. When the Lord shows up, the whole world's going to say, oh no, it's him, except for us. We're going to be riding in behind him saying, hallelujah to the Lamb, or something along them lines. See what language you're going to speak, whichever one we want to. Because we're going to be in charge then. There'll be no more straightening out loaves up there. It'll all be straightened out. There'll be no more tax people going around cheating you out of money. You know why? He's going to bring Matthew and Zacchaeus back to do the books for the world. You ever thought about that before? You said, you read that in the Bible? No, I made it up, but it is really cool, ain't it? Two former tax collectors, it's Jews, going to take over the finances of the world. We'll make some money then. The millennial will be profitable at that point in time, won't it? Yep. Not millennials. Don't get that mixed up with this. I'm talking about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. But it says something about his followers that's true then, it's true now, and it was always true all the way back to the time of Adam. It says, they that are with him, talking about with the king, are three things, called, chosen, and faithful. Called deals with a spiritual calling from the Spirit of God. That's people that the Lord himself has reached him with his word through somebody preaching the word to him. Jesus has sent the Holy Ghost in the drawing capacity towards them. They're chosen, which is a scriptural calling from the Bible. They've seen in the Bible their need to be saved. They realize they're lost. But then it says they're faithful. And I'll just use three C's tonight. How about the word committed to be for the word faithful? Now, when we talk about being faithful, that's a sacrificial response to the call and to the choice. When God's people get around where he's at and they realize what they have in him, they're called, chosen, and faithful. I'm afraid that only some of us have only got as far as called. Come on. That means we've turned him down. Some of us made as far as chosen. That's where we accepted that, then we won't accept his choice. And there's some of us that are called and chosen, but we won't be faithful. You got to have all three. And I'm preaching to you tonight on they that are with him, right there in the text. They that are with him, that one little line there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you and we thank you, God, for letting us be here tonight and be alive. Lord, how great thou art is a fitting title to talk about you in a song. And we want to come to you tonight and say we love you, Lord, and we thank you, God, for letting us be here. And Father, we pray, God, tonight by your Spirit, God, that you'll open our eyes to this text according to Revelation 17:14. Them that are with him, that God, that you'll do a work there. Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we pray tonight, God, together you'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy 4:2, to preach the word, being it's an in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. When we look at these distinctions of these people that are with Jesus, they're very distinct. He says, number one, they that are with him, it says in verse 14, are called. They are called. I want you to notice something. They've been called to be saved. I've understood the baseball rules to be that if you make a hit with the bat and you make it to first base, you're safe. Is that right? Let's say you hit it and you knock it completely out of the park. You know what that means? You get to run, touch all three bases, then touch home plate and you score a run. Is that right? If you miss any base, and that if you accidentally don't touch first, and then you touch second and third, the umpire calls you out at home plate. That's going to happen to a lot of people. They're risking their life on not getting saved and trying to work their way to heaven, and they're going to be called out at home plate because they didn't stop at first base and get saved. I'm talking about good people. I'm talking about people that's out deceiving the world with religion, your Jim Bakers and all that stuff. I'm talking about good people just like you are going to sit in churches and miss first base and never got saved. But those that are with him that missed first base, they got in. They got in, they're saved, they're serving, and yea, even some are spirit-filled, being used mightily of God in the last days you and I live in. That's what it says about them. They are what? Called. That's something distinct than saying, I found God. You did not find God. I will prove it to you. In 6,000 years of human history and the eternity past and eternity forward, God has never been lost. He couldn't be found because he never was lost. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that even lost people know there's a God. Let me illustrate this for you. They can say they're an atheist all they want to, but they know there's a God. I've had too many people get saved that said there's an atheist tell me, you know, even though I said there wasn't, I knew there was. Right. And conviction sets in on them every time somebody dies because they know where that person went.
Come on.
Some godly grandma died and they feel the prayers leaving when that happens. Some godly preacher that tried to convince them he dies, they feel the prayers leaving.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, they still know there's a God in spite of all that. While they're breathing, you better try and reach them because that's the only time you got. You say, what about them reprobate mind? I don't know which ones are. And you don't either. We don't know. Just keep on hammering away. And here's why. I'd hate to think I put people on the shelf and God ain't put them on the shelf.
Yeah, right.
By the way, that's his choosing, not ours. He never lets nobody know which one he does that to if he does.
Right.
I think we're going to get to heaven and look back and see a lot of missed opportunities because we thought they were beyond hope. Again, here's the test. If they got that, you might ought to try to reach them.
Come on.
Now notice this. We see they that are called and they that are chosen in that verse. He says this. He said those that they are they that are with him, it says they are called and it says chosen. Chosen deals with the fact that they got a scripture calling. And the way the thing lays out with Jesus and the way it plays out in scripture, you and I have been chosen in marriage. Ain't it good that the groomsman picked you? I mean the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, has picked you to be in his body, being the bride of Christ. Say, well, are we married yet? It's coming.
Amen.
We're in his body now. We're going to be the bride later. And as we think about being the bride, if you look over at chapter 21 in this book, chapter 21, verse 9, he says this. And there came out unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the last plagues. It says, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Well, I bet John looked over there and thought, well, there's that Peter again sitting there in the middle of all that. Because he's looking at something yet future. And he's talking about the bride of Christ. Chapter 22, if you look at verse 17. Next page over or so, says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The who? The bride. The wedding's already happened by this point. It says, the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So we're chosen in marriage to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you back yourself up to Ephesians chapter 5, we'll tie all that together where it sits right now. In Ephesians chapter 5, he goes through this chapter and tells us things that we really need to hear. Verse 1, be ye followers of God as dear children. Boy, we need to plug into that thing real good. He's still our father. He's not some old drunk uncle up there. Listen, he's our father. But listen this. He goes through here, tells us all these things, and we get down here, and then we get to you ladies, your favorite verse, wives, submit yourselves and do your husband. I want to hear it when they preach, husbands, submit yourselves to your wives, like it says a few verses down. Yeah, it goes both ways. She ain't supposed to be walking 15 feet behind you, by the way. I just talked to you a minute. All these married people, they don't even look at each other right now. They're afraid one of them's told something to me, and now I'm trying to lay it out there. But the way this works is, he goes through all that, and you get down to verse 30. For we are members of his body, his flesh and his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Who's he wanting to submit to who at that point? He's wanting you, the bride, to submit to him. See, we thought we was telling you ladies all, it's really us getting it. And he's already shown love toward us, and he died for us. No greater love can no man have than that. What's he expect in return? Just submission to him. That's not a lot to ask for. Right. Of course, it's the perfect model for a marriage, but he said right there in verse 32, it's a great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now watch this. If we're chosen in marriage, and Jesus has chosen for that, we're also chosen in ministry. Back up to chapter 4. We're chosen in ministry. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. He's talking about ministry in this chapter. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, where it says, wherewith you are called. What's a vocation? I believe that's something you do for the rest of your life. That's what you do and what identifies you as you. Now, while we got some folks, listen, that are chosen in ministry, we either back them or we hate them, one of the two. There is no middle ground on preachers. Right. And when you get to preachers, there's only two kinds, them that's called and everybody else.
Right.
So how can you tell them that's called? God uses them. And the ones that's not called, you just never know what they're going to look like or come out like.
Right.
It might be a man. It might be a woman. You never know who the uncalled are going to be. Say, are you saying that God don't call women? Yeah, I said it. You want to fight about it or something? What are we going to do? Shoot at each other with guns? What is it? Or can we go back to the book and settle that thing once and for all? Said the pastor, the bishop of the church, 1 Timothy chapter 3 is to be the blank of a blank.
Amen.
Don't get mad at me. I didn't write that.
Right.
It's just my vocation to tell you over and over what it says. So why ain't having to do that? So these little girls won't go up here and think they're called to preach.
Right.
So they won't go up and marry another woman. So what little boys in this church won't grow up and marry other men. Husband, wife, two different things joined together to make one flesh. No other way around it. God's always did it that way. Listen, we see that there's a vocation, and that's another way you can tell a preacher whether or not he's got the guts to say anything or not. I had a man come to me and said, I don't like the way you say faggots and sodomites and stuff like that. I said, well, go somewhere else. You can hear them not talk about it. I ain't worried about that stuff. I ain't going to let it bother me. Listen, I slept all night that night and every night since. Because I refuse to let somebody tell me how and what I can say while I'm preaching. Amen.
Amen.
You listen, you might tell some little lace drawer wearing something, but you ain't going to tell me that. I know who called me, and I know what happens at the end of this life and who I give account to. And when I got to give account to him, I'm going to say everything he says in this book. Well, I think some of those cuss words. Of course you do. Because you have the devil's wine. Amen, listen to me. You let the devil tell you what kind of preacher you're supposed to have, you'll be in a church like he wants you into.
Right.
Amen, friend.
Amen.
So you sound like you want to run everybody off. Yeah, but you'll never leave. Why is that? You're called and you're chosen. Say, so what if you make a mistake, preacher? It might happen. I've been close a few times this year. Now, according to my wife, I'm on like 186, but we won't pay attention to her tonight. We're paying attention to me. But here's the deal. When you got to talk as much as I do three times a week publicly, you're going to mess up. I've done found that out.
That's right.
But were you chosen in ministry, you know what you do? You keep on hammering away. Here's what you look at. Verse 11. And he gave some. Did you get that? Some apostles. Who are they? Here's how you can tell apostles from everybody else. They can raise the dead. You know, the qualifications of an apostle are simple. They can raise the dead. That's number one. What else is it they can do nobody else can do? Cast out devils. And they've seen Jesus in the flesh. You know what three qualifications everything that calls itself an apostle is right now don't have? Them three things right there.
That's right.
So how would you know? Take them up Blakely's. You can find out real quick. They don't get to pick who comes back. You just take them up there and see what they can do. When they can't do nothing, be like that church over in Revelation chapter 2. You've tried them which said they're apostles and are not. We can fake all that other stuff them guys do, but you can't fake that.
Right.
I had a lost friend write me last week and say, you know, I've never talked with this to you about it. He said, but it looks to me like if them guys on TV claim they can heal, instead of getting a big crowd up at the Clemson Stadium, the Carolina Stadium, the Bilo place and all that, that they would go down to the ER and go down to the ICU. I said, that's how you know they're fake.
That's right.
There are no healing lines down there. What? They charge to do that? Heaven's a murgatroyd. Listen to that. You take the money off the table and take the Bilo Center off the table and the Gamecock Stadium off the table and the Tiger Stadium off the table and say, let's go to Spartanburg Heart Center. I said, we can't make it. God told me to do something different that day. That's where they find out what day it is. That's your apostles of today. Second one, prophets. You know how I know we don't have any of them? Because this book says so in 1 Corinthians 13.
Right.
It said, where the prophecies they shall cease. When is that? When that which is perfect is come.
Right
here it is.
Yep.
This King James Bible is the perfect word of God. And all these mutton heads that say it's not, they're not called of God to say that, nor do they hear that from God. They heard that from the other crowd. So that's a big stand to take. Gonna stand on it till I go to heaven too. And when I get to heaven, I'd walk down the middle of the street of gold with the King James Bible in my hand and not be ashamed. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I ain't gonna worry about that. God only wrote one book, and we can tell by the way he's used it the last 400 years which one it is. And we can get into all the technicalities if you want to. I'm fixing to either post or preach against some messages about it from 2011 where it'll tell you this is the book. And I'll deal with all the technical stuff. But we're dealing with the called and with the chosen. We don't have prophets because there's no more need of prophecy. He gave all of it to us. So what about them dudes that come up, put their hand on you, throw their hand up in there? That's just acting. They're like, they're not, their antenna ain't getting nothing out of the sky. They're blank and barren. They don't have no prophecies. And by the way, in case they tell you I'm wrong, here's what you tell them. Somewhere between Exodus and Deuteronomy, if they ever read them, there's a thing over there that says that the test of a prophet is whether or not they say comes true or not. If it don't, you stone them to death on the spot. If they won't, listen, and then the Bible says the prophets are subject to these prophets right here. So if they want to put their little gift to the test, tell them to prophesy you a 24-hour thing that only they know it, God tell them, and when it don't come to pass, you stone them to death. End the problem. But wait a minute. It's just like the ER and the ICU that you'll never find them to do that test.
All right, man.
When I stop like that, that'd be a good place to shout right there, wouldn't it? But listen, looking at that, if you're chosen in ministry, then it says three things. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, there's your three offices that's still here. That evangelist most likely is missionaries. They go where the name of Christ is not named so they don't build on another man's foundation. They go out there, they win people to Christ. Not this bunch of people that run around from church to church collecting big salaries off of them by bouncing around so-called revivalists. Not them. We're talking about somebody that goes where Christ is not named, that don't mind going to a place where you go in there, they ain't going to know a thing you're talking about. You're going to explain it in detail. Or you go to a country where there's no gospel there, and they're over there worshiping trees and bugs and birds and things like that. Or even worse, you go to a place and you dig your way out through the jungle and get out there and find out them people know there's a God, but they think he's one of them trees standing out there. That's where the gospel's not named. Missionaries don't mind. Why? They're called. They're chosen. And he says, pastors and teachers, what do? They help people get to where they need to be with the Lord. My job isn't to hold your hand and say, well, bless your heart. My job is to preach to you, to feed you the Word of God. That's number one. Right. Number two is to pray for you. Number three is to make sure I do the other two right.
Yep.
Number four, to do the work of an evangelist. All this isn't for a pastor. And here's the thing that people don't understand. If they ever found out what you do in a day's time as a pastor, why, they would be out the door. If they were held accountable of the Bible qualifications for a pastor and what he's supposed to do, they wouldn't last a week. So why? Because they're just lazy and they don't want to work. That's why they're a pastor. They think it's going to be sitting down eating donuts all the time. Wrong line of work. They think it's just sitting around with a bunch of preachers eating groceries all the time. Wrong line of work. Listen, if you're going to be the husband of one wife, you better take care of that wife first, or you'll be the husband of more than one for long. If you're going to do something for the Lord, you better get in there and you better pray up, stay up, and stand up, or God will walk off and leave you doing it. I see, he says, pastors and teachers. Oh, yeah, we've got to be able to teach people something, too. I'm surprised at how many people sit in churches like ours don't even know when the rapture's happening. So, Emmett, you got a date? Yes, before the tribulation. So whatever day tribulation starts, we leaving for that one. And by the way, I don't know what date that is. But I do know it's real close. So how do you know? Open your eyes. Look around you. Has anybody ever visited the White House before or Washington up there, that little area up there? Did you ever think you'd see razor wire keeping you from it? I thought it was bad in 2001 when I went up there and the dude was standing with grenades on his belt and he was a city cop. I thought it was the Army. I thought, boy, I wish our city cops dressed out like he is. I said, why are you dressed like this? He said, in case of terrorists, sir. And he was standing there this whole time holding that machine gun like that. And I said, let me ask you one more time. I said, you said you're a city of Washington police? He said, yes, sir. I thought, man, y'all must have a crime rate as high as the moon here. And sure enough, they got the highest crime rate per capita than any city in this world.
Yep.
How'd that much evil get up there? It might be what's sitting over in Congress attracts all them demons. I don't know. You tell me, how do we go from having Muslims run into our buildings up there in Plains to having them set in Congress? You tell me how it happened. We need to put the sheik back over in Arabia.
Yep.
Listen here. I know you're going to call me all kind of names for it, but I still believe in what's right is right.
Amen.
Now watch this. They're chosen in ministry. And here's the ministry, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. There we are. And it says, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And he stops on a colon right there. He says, all this is the work of the ministry. He said, but look at verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. How are they deceiving us? Well, one says he's a Calvinist, and one says he's a Mormon, and one says he's a Jehovah's Witness, and one says he's a Muslim, and they all claim they know the true God. Get your Bible out, and don't take stuff out of context. Make them show it to you in context without quoting any other book. You know what happens if a man goes in this Bible and he believes the literal word of every word of God here and believes what God says? You know what he's going to come out the other end? He's going to be a Bible-believing preacher. He's going to be a Christian that's not shaken so soon in trouble. He's going to be a Christian that literally knows if he literally prays, he gets in touch with a literal God. But you give him a set of books, you can give him a set of books on any subject, he'll turn out whatever they want him to be. In other words, it's called systematic theology. Whatever system they pour you through, that's what you come out at the other end. Ain't that something? You mean people do that? God just said they would right there. He said cunning craftiness by the sleight of men. Well, I'll show you, preacher, when the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons come to my door, I'll give them one of my tracts and then I'll take one of theirs. You ever heard of rainbow vacuum cleaners? You ever had a rainbow guy buy your vacuum and you not buy his? There's a reason why. They're trained just like the vacuum cleaner salesman. They didn't come to buy one. They come to sell you one. Now, it would be wonderful if God gave us any kind of instruction on how to deal with somebody coming to our door. Oh my, he did in 2 John verse 7 to 10. He didn't say exchange literature with them. He said run their tail off.
Right.
I've been running them off for 28 years now. If they'll laugh, I'll laugh and run them off. If they try to get bold with me, I'll call the sheriff. Either way they want to go, but they're going. Open the door one morning, here's a guy sitting there about twice as wide as I am, with muscles in places a man should not have muscles. And this woman says, now we Christians, we don't study the Bible. I said, you ain't no Christian. You a wicked Jehovah's Witness, and you're going straight to hell believing that garbage. That dude bowed up on me, and I grabbed that shotgun. I said, oh, no, we ain't having that. I ain't never seen a muscle-bound man run as fast as him in my life. He is the first one back to the car. And threatened me all the way. I said, I'm over here. I ain't putting up with that. You are not going to come to my house and blow up on me at my door.
That's right.
You're going to be escorted off property either willingly or unwillingly, but you're going. And if you bring a false god to my door, you're going quicker than they are. So why is that? Because that's what God said to do with them. Well, I don't believe that. Well, go read 2 John tonight and come back and tell me it's different. Just see what it says. I ain't exchanging literature with them. I throw their literature away as a hobby. I don't give them a dollar to door. Ain't no way. I'd never give them money, never going to give them money. That's wicked. That's ungodly. It's another Jesus and another gospel. They're trying to work their way to heaven.
Yep.
But notice this. He says about them, they lie in wait to deceive. They're of their father the devil, because that's exactly how he is. So you got your called. They're called to be saved, servant, and spirit-filled. You got your distinction of somebody being chosen, chosen in marriage, ministry, and might I say we chosen in money as well. Hey, I watched that on TV where they said we're going to be rich. Is that what you're talking about? Oh, no, not really. We're chosen to depend on God's money. So what is that? 90% of what you got. You live on that, let God have the other 10%. That's fair enough, ain't it? God could have said, you live on 10% and I live on the 90%.
Yep.
You know what people say to me? Well, I can't afford to. You can't afford not to.
Right.
You ever wonder why your bills are higher than your eyebrows now?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't give God his. You give God his, he'll turn that thing around. I've told people for years, if you tithe and run out, call me. And I've never had nobody call me.
Yeah.
You know why? You didn't have to.
That's right.
God did it.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't know if there's God. Well, tithe and see. One of my late teachers told everybody in class, he said, God will bless the tithe of the lost man. I thought he was crazy when I heard him say it, but I've seen all the lost people that are tithing, and God bless them, I believe it. Lost people tithe. Saved people don't tithe half the time. They get in trouble, and they say, well, I don't know why God's wanting to beat me to death so bad. He ain't beating you to death. He's just trying to get your attention. He ain't began the whoopings yet. And I see people say, well, if only it said something in the Bible about it. Well, it does.
Yes.
Malachi 3, he says, bring the tithe to the storehouse. And this bunch of Baptists running around talking about, we don't believe in storehouse tithing. Would you please shut up?
Yeah.
You're talking to Bible believers, tell them not to do something that's in the Bible. And then you get over to 2 Corinthians and say, well, that's to do with tithing. It don't say tithing nowhere in them chapters, not a chapter before it or a chapter after it. Matter of fact, those deal with missions giving. That's how you support missionaries. Missionaries, well, I always believe mission goes at home. Then get you a stack of tracts on your way out at night and go witness. Oh, well, you ain't going to do that, are you? Then you must not believe mission starts at home.
Well,
you wouldn't believe the people I've had told me that. I asked them, who do you witness to? Nobody. Then you are a hypocrite.
Right.
Mission starts at home and you won't witness to nobody. How about that? Oh, no, preacher, I thought that meant God wanted you to do it. I'm sure you did, but God wants us all to do it. He wants us all to be a part of it. And you know what? Every missionary that comes through here, I want to go with them. But there's a catch, I can't. Because I'm where God wants me. And if I'm where God wants me, I'd help them get to where they're going.
Yeah.
But I still want to go. I want to go to Japan to see the monkeys out there behind the motel rooms that dude talked about. I never knew there was monkeys in Japan until Brother Chris told us. I'd never heard that before in my life. My question is, how'd they get there? You know, I'm going to tell you how they done it. The same way these alligators wind up in these farm ponds around here. That's not a miracle. Somebody put them there when they was this big. It must be cute to bring a chimpanzee home and put a diaper on him and all that. Then he gets big and violent. Then what you going to do with him? I bet I know what they did over in Japan. They let him out in the woods and they got like that. Now there's a bunch of them out there. Hey, signs up, do not feed the monkeys. Hope you can read Japanese if you go over there, because if you miss that sign, them things will tear you apart. They're not like Cheetah on Tarzan. Remember Cheetah? Anybody remember Cheetah? Hey, amen. Four of us do. We're having a Tarzan party at my house next week. You're going to watch Johnny Weissmuller. But you look at this thing about how God chose us for this. God's got everything taken care of. He can, listen, he can save the rich and he can save the poor. He can save the middle class, and he looks at you with no regard to what you have. Right. Ain't God good like that?
Amen.
They that are with Jesus are called, chosen. Here's another distinction right here. They're faithful. They're committed to Christ. The three words "a faithful man" in the Bible occurs three times. And the places they occur is, and one is in Nehemiah chapter 7, if you know where that's at in your Bible. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2 is one of them. And for those of you that have the right kind of Bible, I'll tell you what page when I get there. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2, that's page 547 in Schofield Bible. If you don't like Schofield Bibles, that's all right. Get you what you want, but you hunt it while I call them out. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2 talks about a faithful man. He's talking about after the wall was built, the Levites were appointed. Verse 2, that I gave my brother Hananiah and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. Why'd you do that, Nehemiah? For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. You find a faithful man, you find somebody that fears God and not man. Mm-hmm. To find somebody that's not faithful, you find them fearing man and not fearing God. All right, listen. This is the God's truth. Happened 20 years ago. My wife was there when it happened. Done a King James Bible conference for this church that wasn't King James. Boy, the deacons got in on that thing, and they would ask me questions after the service. I'm not trying to trip me up, wanting to know more. And I tell them, fellas, if y'all would please, I'm going to preach on that tomorrow night. They said, but we want to know before we die. I couldn't believe it. I stand there for 30 minutes to help them out. And the Sunday school teachers would come to these things, say, we didn't know that was that God was doing that and that the devil had messed all that up. But you know what they were? They were faithful with what they had. But when they found out something, they wanted to go all in on that deal and be right with God and do what was right. You'll never guess who in that whole building didn't want to do that. Mossy back, flim flam pastor come up and said, well, we just can't go changing everything. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's Psalm 11:3. That book is where that's how you know about Christ, know about God, know about the church, and know about, that is the foundation everything's built on. That's why it calls Jesus the Word of God, and it calls this book the Word of God, for no other foundation can no man that can lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Listen, you could feel the air go out of the room when that pastor said, we can't change the Sunday school literature and all that. They'll get mad. Well, who are they? Because all of these want to do right. It's just one not wanting to. You ever been there before? You ever been preaching somewhere and a church split on you? I thought we was going to have that night. I thought, bless his heart, they fixing to run him out on a rail. But you know what I noticed happen in that church over the years? All them people that stand there wanting to do right are all somewhere else. How'd that happen? Because one man said, well, we can't upset them. I never got out of who them was. I was concerned that they had so much sway over him. And if they have that much power, I need to know who they are. But never found out. You afraid somebody's going to find out you King James only? I'm not. In fact, I'll tell you something. They might walk out of here and they might make fun of us. They may say what they want to. But they come in here, they're going to see that, and we ain't ashamed of it.
Right.
Remember at Justin's funeral? All them people in here? They didn't nobody come in and say, preacher, we need to take down that 1611 thing. That might offend people. I ain't worried about them. Care less. If they don't know which Bible's right, one, we can sit down and tell them and show them and help them.
Amen.
The only ones that don't want to know is those trying to pull the wool over your eyes about something, and I wonder what the something is. Oh, the new one's coming out next week. We got to buy that one. New one's coming out a week after that. We got to buy that one. Ain't that what's been going on while being asleep? You know who makes the most money off them things? Probably them guys that worked for them for 7 to 10 years translating them that worked on the last one. They're like the Rolling Stones. Half them guys ain't even the real guys anymore. They've all been replaced by clones or other old people, and you can't tell the difference no way. But they're going to have the reunion retirement tour this year. And about the time they settle out all the stadiums in North America, about 5 more years, they're going to get broke again doing all that heroin. They're going to have to do a reunion tour again or a retirement tour again. Kiss figured it out because them guys are Jews. They paint their face where you can't tell if it's really them or not. Rolling Stones just look like old dudes. Ain't that something? Listen to this. They that are chosen, they that are committed, they're faithful to the Savior. Look at Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20 down at verse 6. They that are with Jesus are faithful. A faithful man occurs 3 times in the Bible. This is the second time that phrase occurs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. The Bible says there, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness.
Well, I'm not as bad as the crackhead, and I'm not as bad as the meth head.
Oh, bless your heart. When do you go to church? Well, now you can't make it all the time. You know, people sin. Yeah, how about that, people sin? You got any covering for that? You ain't got none? Guess what? You're going to be in a lot of trouble with God.
Yep.
Remember the song goes, when I see the blood, not the goodness.
Right.
There was none of them Israelites good to put the blood on the door, but every one of them had the blood on the door. The death angel passed right on by.
Right.
It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Here's how you find him. Verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity, and his integrity is Jesus Christ. His children are blessed after him. Peter said, you'll know the false prophets. They'll have cursed children. Reckon that's true in the Bible? Look at this. Proverbs 28, verse 20. The last occurrence of this little phrase here, a faithful man. Proverbs 28, verse 20. Your Bible says, a faithful man. There it is right at the start of the verse. A faithful man. Third occurrence of this thing. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be, what's that word? If they're not innocent, then they are guilty of something. I see every time it talks about a faithful man, it's not talking about the crowd that says, well, I'm not as bad as others, but are you faithful? Well, you know, all of us sin. Yeah, but are you faithful to Christ? See how that works? Every man proclaims his own goodness. Well, who are we going to get to take this deacon's part? Well, that guy don't have to come to church. Let's get him to start coming. That's not what God says. Let these first be proved.
Right.
Isn't that something? Well, how are we going to do that? We're going to have to watch and see what's going on there. We've run into deacons that's sitting up at gas stations on Sunday night, ain't been to church in months, go to give them a gospel tract, and I said, well, I'm saved. I'm a deacon where I went to church at. Are you still one? No. Why ain't you one now? Well, you know, they didn't like it when I laid out of church for 2 years. You mean it took them that long to figure out you was gone? Boy, you thought Sardis was a dead church over there, had a testimony that's alive but dead. That crowd seems to have Sardis beat, don't they? Look at this. You've got Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2. You got Proverbs 20, verse 6, and Proverbs 28:20, all telling you what God says a faithful man is. You know what he is? He's committed to the cause of Christ and lets nothing get in front of that. Do you know that there are people right now that you know and you've seen on this platform that stayed by the stuff when everybody else said don't? We've had people come in here, listen, that's preached to you, that one time in their life, they got backslid on God, and a baseball changed their life. Dennis Carter was saying, he was warming up pitching, and the guy said, hey, Brother Dennis, and he looked, when he turned, that ball caught him right there, crushed his entire front of it. That's why his nose looked so funny when he's alive, because that thing caved in on him. He lost his front teeth as a teenager to one baseball. He told me when he's in the emergency room, God been dealing with me and dealing with me and dealing with me and dealing with me. He said the jig was up that night. He said I couldn't even call out physically to God because my mouth was so swelled up I couldn't hardly talk. You know what he died of? Of being a faithful man.
That's right.
God did that. And when God calls somebody and he chooses them and the work in their life through Jesus Christ, they become faithful at whatever God called them to do. And the tribulation time in Revelation 17 bars no different. They'll be faithful unto death over there. We just got a bunch of people saying, now if you go to church, you're going to get the COVID and you're going to die. Is that what they're telling y'all now? The fourth strain. I blinked. Where were 2 and 3 at? Did you get them? I didn't even know there was 2 and 3 until they said there's a fourth one coming. I thought, well, I need to watch the news more. Maybe I don't. As long as they'd tell all the news, I'd be fine with it. But when they refuse to report some things, I got a real problem with that. Either tell it all or shut up.
Amen.
Don't call yourself unbiased reporting and you won't tell both sides of the story.
Right.
I watched two Hollywood guys sit there on one of them internet things where they got both their heads on the picture. And both of them said the same. One of them said it, the other one agreed with him. And I sat there finding myself in agreement with them. You know what the difference is between a conservative and a liberal? What news channel you listen to? That's it. They both got to go to work in the morning. They both listen. They both want their candidate to win, whatever it is. Both of them want their way to be right. But they listen to one side and get slanted this way. Another guy listens to this news channel and get slanted this way, and they're both wrong. So where are we at in that? Hopefully in your Bible, believe in God. If not, you'll be slanted one way or the other. So you trying to say that such candidate's wrong? I ain't mentioned any candidates or any parties. I'm just telling you what them guys said. I thought, that's exactly what's happened to America. Somebody's trying to divide us.
Yep.
Used to, they divide us between Baptists and Catholics, and all the Catholics killed the Baptists. The Protestants came over and started helping them. Mm-hmm. You ever heard of a state called Mary's Land? You ever wonder where that name came from? Wonder who founded that little colony up there? You really need to pay attention to history because it keeps repeating itself and we're doing nothing about it. Called, chosen, faithful. Here's the thing. Are you faithful to this Bible? Or are you faithful to watching that stupid news all the time? Preacher, you don't understand. I watch the conservative channel. I don't care what channel you watch. They lie too. And there's certain things they won't talk about because they're afraid of losing moderate viewership. It's all about the money in the end.
Yep.
What's God want? Somebody to be faithful to him. If nobody knows you read the Bible, God knows. If nobody knows when you sit down to pray, God knows. And here's the good thing about it. You ain't got to tell nobody what you do in your private time with God unless you want them to know. But the whole... Well, you know, we sin when we don't pray, and sometimes we don't pray. Who's we? You need to be faithful and quit worrying about everybody else. A faithful man who can find. I'll tell you where we can find him. We can find him in the prayer closet. We can find him giving his time over to prayer. We can find him on a prayer list because somebody's praying for him. We can find a faithful woman in the same way. She's in the prayer closet somewhere, and her children walk behind her and call her blessed. You don't think that just showed up in Proverbs 31 for no reason, do you? Here's the thing. After we looked at what called, chosen, and faithful is, let me ask you this. Are you with Jesus? What if he were to come back today? Would you be glad to see him? Would you be glad to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords show up? Hey, some of them, listen, hey, some Christians right now, they dabbling a little bit of sin over here. You know what? I hope you awaken dabbling when he comes. Hope you have it in your hands, whatever it is. And you raptured out of here in a second. There you are standing with Jesus and you can go like this. You think it's still in your hands. Scared to death. I always talk about this. People that smoke, look here. Yeah, Christians can do whatever they want to you. And you start to blow out and there he is looking at you. What a thing. What are you doing here? You know. Put that thing out. Angel, here, hold this, you know. I ain't done with you. What if you're doing something like this? I am. I hope you go to spit and he's standing right in front of you. Check out that second, you're looking right at him. You know what you'll do? Don't worry, it ain't going to follow you to heaven. You won't be able to buy a pack there. Right. Or maybe you look like your jaw swelled up. And the second you wrapped right here, you're looking at him. You going to try to swallow the whole side of your face trying to get rid of that? Why would you do it if you're ashamed of it now and you'll be ashamed of it then? Are you with Jesus? Are you ready for him to come back? We was at a funeral a while back, and this little preacher got up, and he's done died and went to heaven now. Poor guy didn't hardly know anything. He's just an older guy. You could tell his mind's slipping. But he got up and said something I ain't forgot yet. He said, every time I look at a crowd of funeral, I wonder who's next, and are you ready to go? And I thought to myself, that's not something that could be said lightly to a crowd at a funeral. They've got an example right in front of them of what can happen. But before we ever get there, can I ask you, are you with Jesus? Are you ready for him to come back? Let's get it settled before you get to the emergency room. Listen, I had to go out to the emergency room one night with this right here swollen up. I had some kind of gland or something. I forgot what they called it. That thing just blowed up. Never saw it coming. I asked the doctor what it was. He said, it could be toothpaste. I said, I got you there. I don't use toothpaste. He said, then I don't know what it is. And we laughed about it and everything. But here's the funny part. I sat out there for 3.5 hours and watched a whole football game. It was opening night in 2015-ish. It was a scary game. Tony Romo was the quarterback, and all the Dallas fans were scared to death. Was he going to blow this one too? And they ended up winning the game. And I sat there watching that, and it dawned on me. I've sat here in pain for 3.5 hours watching a whole football game. Ain't even seen the doctor. You've been there before. In fact, we were just talking about this. And I got to thinking about something. I'm glad I went to church today. Because whatever that thing was, I thought, what if that thing keeps getting bigger? Is it going to run out of places to breathe for long? Nobody's in a hurry to get in here. I hope they're right about that. But was I ready to meet the Lord? Well, you know I was. And let me tell you something else. If you're not ready to meet the Lord, get ready. Quit monkeying around, quit fooling around, quit trying to avoid things by laughing at them. You'll look like the vice president if you do. And you don't want to be labeled like that. That woman has mental problems. You can't laugh your way through life. Sometimes you're going to cry. But here's the thing. He's holding a handkerchief for you. He weeps with you. He knows how to be touched with the feelings and infirmities because he got touched by the same thing while he is here. Let's get ready to meet the Lord. I heard somebody say a while back, so what kind of year you hope 2021 will be back in January? I said, I'll be the one where Jesus comes back. Ready to go anytime. If I go to bed tonight and I don't see you tomorrow, I'll see you soon because I'm sure he's coming back. I'm telling you, listen, when we get to the end of the thing, we're going to look back on our whole life and say this, only what we did for him matters. Only where we were faithful and committed to him that matters. Only when we did what he chose for us to do matters. And it all's going to wrap up in the fact of whether he called us or didn't call us. Be ready for him. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.